Okay, so we're doing the holy letters of the Rebbe, and we're actually not completing the letter 1053 that we left in the middle, and we're actually also going to skip the letter 1054. In this class, it's too scholarly, and it's too intricate. It gets very detailed. It would take
what
more.
We're not bright enough.
No, it's no.
That was AKA.
It's not the purpose of this class. The purpose of what I find of the class is mostly to be inspired by the Rebbe's words at our level. But the Rebbe's scholarly level, well, you know, when it gets into very details, that would take a long time. Trust me, I'd love that. I'd love to do that. But I think that if we did that, we would not have an ongoing class. So we're going
to
stick to the...
When you try to explain a medical word, they don't get it. So you got to dumb it down, we call it.
Like they call computers for dummies?
Yeah. You gotta bring it to their level, so it's too high, so I
say... I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is...
That would take
a long time to go and to get it, and I think it's not the goal of what we're trying to do. So here we're going to do letter number 1055, Baruch Hashem, Tov Sivan. Who knows what Tov Sivan is? Which date is Tov?
Good sign or...
Yeah, but Tov comes out to 17. The number 17 comes to Tov. So there's some Tov Sivan. Tov Shin Yud Aleph. And the Rebbe is addressing this letter to Moreinu Yaakov Shichya. But it is important what I told you. Listen, because you need to realize, if you only read the Rebbe's letters that I'm reading you, so why do I have to tell you about it? I can just skip it and go to the next letter and say, okay, we're not learning. Why am I telling you this? Because I do want to tell you that there's a whole other... The Rebbe covered various different aspects in his correspondence. So by only reading one area of correspondence, you come to the conclusion those were the only issues the Rebbe addressed. So I do want to let you know that the Rebbe has very intricate and very detailed and very, extremely knowledgeable in all different kinds of areas. Yeah, so... That we know that, but we're not learning it here. So I just want to make a point of that to tell you that we was there.
If you're studying yeshiva, do you need a prerequisite to learn that?
Everybody does, I guess, the best that they can.
This is advanced.
Peace and blessing. So the Rebbe says, in connection, but on the contrary, I think one of the lessons that we can learn, notwithstanding is the Rebbe's abilities and being able to discuss things with the greatest of sages and with the most brightest of minds and the extinguished people. The Rebbe mostly, or in a lot of cases, the Rebbe just deals with the mundane, with the ordinary, with the regular stuff. And that was his... It takes more from somebody who knows so much to sort of really just talk the simple talk.
Explain it at their level.
And to be involved in caring about people, about their lives, about... Let's see what the Rebbe writes about here. The Rebbe says, here in connection with your visit by me, I want to express my blessing that you and your balabasta...
Wife.
Do you know what a balabasta means?
Housewife.
But what it literally means?
Boss.
Atazai. It really means the balabasta. The owner of the house,
You know what? We say who wears the pants. Right? A happy wife is a happy life.
What's it translated? Balabasta.
So he's saying, for the man, you would say the bal habais. And she's the bal habasta. So it's like the woman's thing of them. But story about there was a line in which all the...
In heaven, right?
No, this was not in heaven. This was on earth, unfortunately. It's just a joke. So there was a line in which it said, a big sign in front of it, that this is the line where all the husbands listen to their wives. And that line was full, stretched all the way. He said, okay, everybody there. And then there was another line. It had a sign over there. This is the line in where the wives listen to their husband.
Very short.
And there was just one guy standing there. And all the other guys in the other line are looking and envying this guy. He said, how did you do it? We were all in this line. How did you get in that line? He said, I don't know, he makes such a big deal. He said, my wife told me to stand there.
Bada boom. We ought to get that.
Okay.
<That's> huge.
All right, anyways. So the Rebbe blesses her that together with your wife, may she live, you should have long and good years. And you should have, what does it mean, true, good, long years? What does it mean? So by a Jew, it means when you fill them up while your spirit and your body are relaxed with good activities, which means when you fill the days and the years with effects, with activities that are connected with Torah and mitzvahs, which expressed in actual deeds, and those are with the three loves, loving of God, loving of Torah, and loving of the Jewish people. Such a life brings success and blessing, both in your own home, and also in the homes of your children and your grandchildren, may they live.
You know what, Rabbi? If you're boss of a company, or blah, 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 you don't have to follow any of the rules, so that's probably why, you know, the women are exempt from anything.
Oh, okay, because they're own. Okay.
No, because they're the boss.
That's an interesting interpretation. Okay, according to what I have told you orally, that the Rebbe, my father-in-law, Zichrona Tzadik Livracha, etc., he gave over a expression of the Baal Shem Tov, a word, a saying of the Baal Shem Tov, that everything that a person sees or he hears, you must learn a lesson. There must be a message how to serve Hashem. Self-understood that one needs to be able to learn a lesson from a consistent, something which you are consistently occupied with. Okay, now, well, so Rebbe says like this. When you talk about clothing, undergarments or garments, before you can put them on, it's totally clean, especially if they were washed in the laundromat, so is the laundries. So before you, that's a plug for you,
yeah,
okay?
Like
so
that.
Before you put
it's
them on,
it was the primitive the start of the laundromat.
Before you stir them on, before you put them on, they're totally clean. And they're totally smooth, they're actually pressed, and everything is lying in the proper place. But at the time when you start wearing it for a little bit, it becomes wrinkled, or it gets dusty, or it gets stained. Yet, you don't throw out the garment after it goes. What do? You bring it to Sozo Cleaners. You give it to a laundry. The Rebbe says you bring it to a laundry.
Yeah.
Or cleaning, he says. You get it to a dry cleaners or a cleaner, okay? The laundry man puts the item into a machine, a vessel or a machine, in where there is warm or hot temperature.
If we have hot water.
Okay, warm water. Although a lot of people like to wash in cold, you know. In the warm water. I think that's only today because they have the chemicals. In the olden days, I think you needed warm water to actually get stuff clean.
We couldn't.
But today we have the different soaps that can use it.
The temperature's really low.
Where do they say?
And you put in various different kinds of chemicals. You put in soap. All of this removes the dust and the spots. And then you go and you iron by putting onto the garment a heavy, which is a press or pressure, then you can go ahead and wear the garment again.
Forgot, but where do they put the coins in the court?
Oh,
credit card.
The same thing, no more coins, credit card now. The same thing is with a Jewish soul. When Hashem gives us the soul, His soul, whether it's a man or it's a woman, the neshama is clean. It's pressed and it's fit for each one. As we say every morning in the morning blessings, Neshama shenasata bi tahorehi, the soul that you've given me is pure. Here. But with time, as you use it for worldly matters, the neshama becomes a little bit wrinkled When you use it for things that Hashem doesn't want.
Like personal gain.
Possible to be, yeah. Sometimes you can have dust or spots connect himself to it. When you don't do, God forbid, a mitzvah that you should do, or God forbid, you violate a sin that you're not supposed to do, so you're causing your soul to become spotty and dusty. Yet, the Torah teaches us that you should not give up the hope of cleansing of the soul and for it fitting to the Jewish human life. But you gotta bring it into a warm temperature.
What about Yom Kippur? Does that kind of clean the clothes?
Yeah, that's a one-time cleaning. That's like a super cleaning. That means that you gotta warm up with the warmth of Torah and Mitzvahs so that it should boil in it and it should have in this a vitality, a livelihood, an excitement. The warmth needs to be moisture, which means it should have moisture and stickiness to all holy things, should stick to it. This is accomplished by davening, by praying with heart, with feeling, with emotion. Over there, it says in the verse, it says, Shifchi kamayim libech, pour your heart out as water, which means you pour your heart as water and through also a studying with emotional, with feeling. As it says, those who are thirsty for water, go and drink Maimis Torah, drink, quench your thirst through Torah. So these are all the waters that we're talking about.
Well,
so apparently the Rebbe is not talking about dry cleaning, because dry cleaning, they don't use water, right? They use chemicals over there.
Are you talking about mikvah
water? Water, yeah. No, but no, this is talking about...
No,
that's,
but the tree of life, you know, that the Torah is the water.
So the Torah says, if you're thirsty, go and drink water, which means not just water, means drink Torah. And also, you got to mix in other things. So first, Rebbe's saying, you got to bring it to the laundromat. You got to bring it water. The water, it got to be warm. What is the warm water? Torah and davening. Those are the two warm waters.
The thing needs to be dry.
And then, then you have to mix in some other chemicals. What are the chemicals you make? You got to give tzedakah, charity. You got to keep kosher. And the other mitzvahs. Through this, the neshama becomes entirely pure again. And when you put on a load, you got to press it now, put on a load of Torah, so it appears that it's a load, it's a pain, it's a burden. So not only that it doesn't disturb this matter, but it presses it out, that everything that's in art, everything in this proper shape and form, which means that through Torah mitzvahs, the neshama becomes that what she needs to be. I'm going to just guess that this guy owned a dry cleaners or a laundromat or something like that.
Dry cleaner.
So
no, it looks like more like a laundromat or something like that.
Is a standard.
Listen, Marty, you should have studied the letter again. Marty, this is a really very interesting letter. This is a letter that Rebbe writes specifically for somebody. Rebbe says we have to learn a lesson for everything in life, especially if that's your occupation.
I like that analogy. But Torah is a stain remover.
Yeah, stain remover.
There's no permanent stains, Marty. They get removed. Yeah.
I conclude with the wish, long life, long days, good years to you and your wife. You should have a lot of Yiddish nachas for all your children. May they live with blessings. This was sent to Yaakov Pearl, whatever, for whatever it is.